Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Shropshire Witches podcast. I'd love to be able to tell you what episode number we're on, but I've just so pretty standard for us. So today we are doing a little bit of a special episode, and it really is linked to a certain calendrical custom, and that is Valentine's Day. So we're going to get soppy, we're going to get real soppy and lovey-dovey today and talk about all sorts of things surrounded by love, and in particular, forms of love divination from the county known as Shropshire.
Yay. Fantastic. I'm really looking forward to this. And I've got to say, listeners, and friends of the coven, members of the coven, I know, do you know what? I think it would be staggeringly optimistic to say very little. I know nothing about love divination. So I am particularly excited about this episode that Amy's going to lead, and I'm going to be asking questions and things. And I'm excited, but it might turn into a broader conversation. I'm sure it always does, but I'm particularly excited about this in our home county that I know nothing about love divination, let alone love divination in Shropshire. So let's proceed, because I'm looking forward to this one.
Brilliant. So I think first it'd probably be better to give kind of a little bit of an overview about love divination, its kind of history and its presence in a kind of cross-cultural way, rather than just straight into Shropshire, delving straight into the good stuff. So out of all the forms of divination that you've been referenced to, I think love divination has perhaps one of the longest histories. That and anything to do with the dead and ghosts, raising the dead, it seems to be what we were doing historically. So if we weren't trying to get somebody to fall in love with us, we were trying to raise the dead.
Either
So yeah, either way, if you can't, you win some, you lose some.
way.
And it is very much a cross-cultural thing. And some of the practices that I'm going to share today in a Shropshire context, you see things very similar in elsewhere in Britain and probably further afield.
Okay.
It's probably, a little bit obvious, but it is using magical forces, be that amulets, charms, herbs, particular purposeful actions, to ensure that a person falls in love with you, or to try and uncover who your future love will be. So you get some that it is very much herbs and charms to make someone fall in love with you. And that's what a lot of the kind of infamous Shropshire witches were very good at doing. So Nanny Morgan, for instance, she was meant to be incredibly good at making love charms and forcing people to fall in love through the means of a love charm. But also, there's a lot of customs and practices cross-culturally that kind of give you a window and insight into who you are going to marry and your future love and your kind of future. And I think these practices are so fascinating because they are cross-cultural. So, for example, in the Roman period, women would go and visit the goddess Juno at the temple, and she was kind of the patron of marriage, birth, amongst other things, as well as affairs of the heart, to try and win her favor, to win a suitable husband or a suitable partner. And then you've got in the medieval period really come into its own with amulets, charms, herbs, and all sorts of things that were supposed to influence affection and attraction. Really, that's our starting point. And certainly as we move through, even into relatively late stages into the 19th century, a lot of our practices are still being done. And a lot of them are very, very much to try and uncover who that partner's going to be, who the suitable partner is, and give you a bit of an insight into your future. So I suppose in a way, it's also linked to kind of those types of divination where you're looking into the future, like palmistry and things like that. But I think one of the things I find most fascinating about this kind of folklore is it links to that earlier idea I think we mentioned in our witchcraft episode, is that magic and divination were often so much a part of people's daily lives that the boundaries between what was deemed magical and supernatural and what was deemed just something people did or an entertainment or a kind of a girl's game that they did, the boundary is so vague. So it's not necessarily that you had this coven of witches out in the woods doing all these magical charms and divination. It was some girls, it was your servant girls, it was women of standing as well,
Yeah.
all partaking in these rituals to, in some regards, try and see the future, but also as a form of entertainment. So I think they're an incredibly interesting thing, and they highlight the idea that actually magic isn't always, and witchcraft in quotation marks isn't always, the coven out in the woods like I've just mentioned, but in many ways it's part of the daily life. It's the home and the hearth and the domestic sphere. So it's absolutely fascinating, and I can't wait to kind of dig a little bit deeper and tell you a little bit more about some of the ways that we know actually people did and people practiced.
I think that's so just, it is just so interesting because I suppose when you look at it, like the demand for it is, I'm going to argue, is still there because people still want things like tarot cards doing and things
Oh
like that. People want to know who their, who their husband's going to be or whatever. And they just do, or their wife. And I think it's whether it's because, and this is something, because obviously we can't see into the future, but whether there's, love is one of those things that, most people sort of hope for, I would generally say. And if you're kind of trying to imagine, especially when you're younger and it becomes maybe more fun, like you were saying, like, it becomes something of like a game. It's funny what people will believe in inverted commas, when it comes to something like love. So if they're like, in general life, they might be like, oh, what a load of nonsense. But when it comes to love, this idea that you could talk to someone that, they could say, what do you think my husband would be like? And then, someone could say, and well, they've got no idea. You could maybe guess by some of the, the lifestyle somebody has or their interests, whatever. You could maybe pick a kind of idea looking at maybe some of their previous partners, things like this. But ultimately, we don't really know. But we still kind of, in a way, like cling to things like that. Like when you were young or something, and someone's like, oh, I think you're going to marry this man, or he'll be like this and this. And you're like, oh, yeah. And it's, it's bollocks, isn't it? We don't actually know. You end up married to kind of an accountant called Dave who was completely different from anyone else that you'd met. And that's fine as well. But, it's funny how throughout history there is this fascination with things like that. Just as there is with kind of contacting the dead and things. Love is that great sort of thing that people are so sort of fixated on throughout the ages, aren't they? And I think, yeah, I just, it's extraordinary, really interesting to me.
And definitely. And I think when I've, so I did a lot of research a few years ago on Shropshire wedding customs, and it very, very much shows, the wedding customs show a preoccupation with the idea of love in the minds of young, particularly young women, but young men as well. And for many women, it was very, very much a cliche idea. It's the most important day of your life. I believe that filled with important moments, and there's not a day that triumphs all of them. But for many women, it was a very special day of their life. So, for example, in wedding, there's a little bit of Shropshire wedding folklore that sedates isn't a word.
Oh, Mister. That's like a Freudian mishap. You're like, shit, date, not date.
No. Oh yeah, sedate is a word.
It is, but I was thinking it was the wrong word in terms of like
Yeah,
using
it's the wrong
love.
word.
Like you don't want to kind of put love and sedate together. You're like, no.
No. There's a word, there's a piece of Shropshire folklore that suggests that on her wedding day, a bride must have an entirely new articles of clothing for everything she wears, and that she mustn't wear anything that she's previously worn. So if she wore an old, stockings or an old shoes or old dress, it would be bad luck. So everything from the underwear to the stocking shoes must be brand new, and she must put it on for the first time the day of the wedding. So there's no bridal trying on or dress try-ons. It's the day
Oh
of the
my
wedding
gosh.
you put it on. And
What if it doesn't fit?
well, yeah, that would
Like
be
a
my
childish
worry.
question, but I'd be like, shit.
I'd be panicked a bit. But so that piece of folklore is very much the idea of, oh, your special day and it's good luck and it's positive to have this these new things. But when you look at the communities these folklore pieces and fragments of folklore were coming from, that would very likely have been the first time that woman would have had a brand new dress or a brand new item of clothing that didn't belong to someone else. You know, hand-me-downs were so common. Even when you get into the early 20th century, my grandmother had about five sisters and it was all cast-offs of what the old one had grown out of. So there's very much in the wedding folklore as well, this preoccupation with love and finding a suitable husband and who your husband's going to be, that I think is age old, but really comes from kind of Georgian period through into the Victorian times.
But do you think that still goes into the modern day? Because I'm going to say with the surge of things like vintage, which love, by the way, that's not product placement, but you know, people are still a bit like, oof, a bit superstitious about buying secondhand wedding dresses and things like that, which, you know, I don't get an issue with at all. I think it seems a little bit preposterous to me that a dress should be so exceedingly expensive if it was, and then worn once. I mean, I understand the sort of folkloric side, but it's interesting to me that even in the modern world, there's still things. So, and unless you're going on to this well, but interested to know, is that the kind of the predecessor of something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue, this kind of all these traditions that come around that kind of thing?
Yes, I'd say so. And I'd certainly say it's the Shropshire variant of that, because everything is new, but there is reference to the certain colours wedding dresses that are bad luck to wear, which is rather disheartening because green is one of them. And I loved the idea of a green wedding dress.
Oh, it's my favourite colour. I love green.
It's my favourite colour too. We're so alike.
And I was like, what a noise. But yeah, no, we are.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's bad luck. Green is bad luck, but blue, particularly pale blue, is good luck. Something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue. So I do think there is kind of mirrors between that piece of the kind of wider cross-cultural folklore and the Shropshire variant. But I definitely think for many, it wasn't the only thing that they thought about, but it was certainly exciting. It was a day that you know, the day you married your husband was the day where it was all really the attention on you, which, you know, terrifies me. But it was important. So that's why I think you get a lot of these pieces of divination to try and work out who this man could be. And it's not suggesting that there wouldn't have been slightly older women doing them, but I think predominantly the people that were doing these customs and practicing these customs would have been young girls, young women. We do have a couple of references to male divination, which I'll mention a little bit later, but predominantly it was young women who were doing these acts, or supposedly doing these acts, to try and pick apart the future. So it's really fascinating. And some of them are absolutely bizarre. Absolutely bizarre. Some of them are incredibly mundane as well. So you get this real juxtaposition in Shropshire of the incredibly mundane things that you kind of go, well, how could that make you see your future? How could that make you see your future love, to something that is, wow, that is so weird. Why would that tell you who your love is? So I want to start by
just go on, kick us off.
the majority of these are quite easy to find. They've been referred to in various folklore publications, but mainly Charlotte Byrne and also Lillian Hayward, who is slightly later. She's kind of like the 20s, 30s and 40s. So both of these are relatively really good sources of information. And as you know, probably by now, Charlotte Byrne is the absolute don of Shropshire folklore.
Oh, yeah.
She had her faults, bless her, as I often say, but she certainly has been a massive help to future generations and preserving this folklore. So Shropshire folklore suggests that, it's rather bizarre really, Valentine's Day isn't actually a day that is particularly auspicious for divination. You can do it, but there are certain days that are a lot more kind of auspicious. They're more powerful days. So for example, All Saints and All Souls Day, very, very good time to do divination. And some of them I will mention today. I think we mentioned briefly in our All Souls Day episode.
Yeah.
You've got Midsummer as well. Midsummer is particularly potent for divination. New Year's Eve is, and St.
Okay.
Agnes's Eve. So all days you can do love divination any day of the year and probably get an answer. But these are kind of the superstar days that it's really, really powerful, or it's more likely to work and more likely to pertain to your actual soulmate. So there's one that I think is probably the most bizarre of them all, and it's the idea that young women who had love on their minds should visit the cemetery at midnight.
I'll see you there.
Yeah, I mean, I love a good cemetery, but maybe not midnight. And they should walk there without a light. So don't you be using any light to get there. You've got to
Don't
go in
do
the dark,
that.
which would be terrible for me because I'm partially sighted. So she went off wandering to the cemetery and was never seen again.
Yeah, without a light.
Yeah. She lost her way on the moor.
Gonna wait for the next episode. Like, she's at the cemetery, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. So you walk to the cemetery at midnight without a light. You stumble around in the darkness until you find half a brick. Don't you dare try and find a full brick because it won't work. It has to be half a brick.
Half a brick in a dark cemetery. That's not the most, like,
Yes.
sinister thing. I wouldn't fucking pick that up. I'm here without a light. There's half a brick. Oh, great. Where's the other half? Oh, wait. He's standing behind you, about to stove your head in. Jesus Christ. Talk about
Literally.
a smoking gun.
Yeah. So
Carry on.
once you've got your half a brick, you carry that half a brick home, you put it under your pillow, and after an uncomfortable night's sleep,
Yes, sciatica. Yeah.
you either dream of your future marriage or you dream of death. And that means you're going to die alone.
Oh, well, there you go, guys. So one or the other, really. So you're going down to the cemetery in the dark. You come back with half a brick under your pillow, sensible. And either you'll dream of your love or you'll dream of impending death. It's like, you know what?
So
I'm just gonna stay in.
yeah, a lot in Shropshire that is very blunt like that, as you'll see,
It is so
and that are
Shropshire,
very
isn't
much
it?
you'll either dream of the person that you're going to marry or you'll dream of a coffin, which means you're going to die alone, you old spinster.
But that is, they're like, nothing in between, just accept either fate. And they're like, okay,
Yeah,
cool.
just
Well, let's go down to the church.
it's just brilliant. The whole ev all of it is just brilliant because it's the idea of just the bizarrity of, oh, ready for dating again. Yeah, I am. I'm so ready for the dating scene. I'm going to the cemetery tonight. It's just what?
A brick. Alex promised that you'd leave it down there for me. I'm going down to get it. It's
So
giving sinister. It's giving.
girls,
There are other ways.
but if you are desperate, the cemetery is your place to be.
Or you're going to die. So up to
Yeah.
That might be the last thing you need. If you're feeling angsty and sad and heartbroken, it's like, oh, I dreamt about death with a brick under my pillow. That's exactly what I needed.
So I'm not going to get married and I'm probably going to die alone. And the thing is, Shropshire
About
Folklore is not particularly nice about women who are spinsters, particularly it says
Adric.
things like, if you happen to have cats and you let cats sit on your lap, it means that you're going to
Eddie.
die alone.
Oh,
So,
I've got four cats.
sorry, Alex.
I've got four cats and I haven't got half a brick, so
No, so you need to get yourself down to the cemetery.
get on with it. Oh, this is so depressing. Carry on though, because it's absolutely brilliant.
That's one that's a little bit more on the bizarre side. But there is also another one that's predominantly done on All Saints' Eve, and that's called plucking the sage tree. And it's meant to be particularly powerful. So just before midnight again,
God.
on All Saints' Eve, I'm too sleepy for this kind of thing,
I
but
just love
there you
it.
go.
Did men write this? Because I reckon they're like, you know what you want to do? You want to go out without a light. It's just before midnight. You'll be perfectly safe.
Yeah,
Carry
you're
out. No, it
fine.
won't be. Because the guy
Find
in
out who you're going to
the...
marry.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And or get attacked. But yeah. Okay. Sounds foolproof. Please continue.
So women enter their gardens, usually with a group of women, this one. When you enter your garden on midnight, you must firmly set your
Oh,
mind on,
euphemism. Yeah.
literally, you must set your mind firmly on love. Can't be thinking of anything else like the washing up. focus completely on love. And in Shropshire, as elsewhere, other rural areas, gardens weren't ornamental. They weren't, you know, oh, look at my nice shrubbery. They were for growing herbs, vegetables to kind of supplement the family's diet.
Yeah.
So sage was often readily available. There's the piece of folklore that says that you must sow nine, for every one sage seed, you must sow nine because the devil takes his tithe in Shropshire. So their gardens would have been absolutely teeming with sage and other herbs.
God, that's so fascinating. It's so, I mean, it's, firstly, it's amazing that you know this. I love it. But also, like it's so specific and weird, but like, fantastic as well. Because you imagine like an open garden and that was the situation. Like, well, there's a few for the devil, so we've got another one.
There you go.
And you'd be like, bloody hell.
There you go, old mum.
I mean, we
there's your
love
bit.
That tour, actually. I'd go to all the open gardens if that's what it was like. I'd be like, the devil, does he take his cut?
So when you're in the garden, you at midnight, it must be just before midnight, so when it turns midnight, you're ready to go. You go over to the sage tree. And under the light of the moon, you pluck nine sage leaves and you time it perfectly for when the clock strikes midnight.
Get
so after you've this one's a bit complicated for me, but after you've plucked the nine sage leaves, the woman would be taken over by a vision, and the vision would either be the man that she was due to wed, so she would literally supposedly see the face of her husband. However, if she was to remain single, she would see a coffin again.
I've got to apologize about my raspy cough and voice because I'm hearing my laugh and I sound like Frank Butcher. I've got a bit of a cold, by the way, so I'm sorry about that. But that is, so she's troubled herself within quite a tight time frame to get nine sage leaves, and they're like, oh God, fingers crossed, he's a dreamboat. And coffin. Coffin. Oh God.
Again.
Like a scratch card, but like the shittest scratch card. It's like, if you don't win, you die. It's like, oh, thanks. Because if he doesn't appear.
Imagine if you tried all ones of these as well. You were like, well, the brick didn't work. I'll try the sage leaves. Oh shit, a coffin again. Right. Let's try this one. No, so you've got this real juxtaposition of the idea of life and death. Life is finding a partner. Life's so much more than that. But in the folklore, life is finding the partner. Death is being alone. It's just so Shropshire, isn't it? But like, well,
I love it. It is, but it, like, they're like, it's one or the other, and you're like, could I maybe have something in between? No, you can't.
What about a cat?
Why?
No, spinster.
Yeah, I've got four cats, but I'm not single. I'm just not married. Spinster. Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. I'm looking around now. The cats are literally behind me. Like, yeah, we know.
We've worried about for a while, yeah.
We've designed it this way for the best. All the sage just like comes out, and you're like, okay, got it, guys. But yeah, sorry. Okay, carry on. Enlighten us some more, because I mean, I am thrilled about all of this, by the way.
Yeah, no. So I want to turn to one that was particularly done on Midsummer's Eve now.
Okay.
And so young women who maybe didn't like the cold, so they didn't want to go out on All Saints Eve, might choose to practice this next piece of divination on Midsummer's Eve.
Yeah.
And they were told to take a piece of clear white cloth. It could be muslin cloth or whatever cloth you seem to have around, as long as it was white, to an oak tree at midnight. And that's when, again, midnight, they would lay this cloth under the tree, and then they would leave it and not come and get it till the following morning. And it's rooted in quite an old folk belief that's kind of cross-cultural, found in lots of areas in England, Wales, Scotland, Ireland, that the oak tree blossomed but one day a year on Midsummer's Eve. So it was the idea that the tree on Midsummer's Eve around midnight would have these beautiful, fragile blossoms that would wither before daylight. And if you collected them in cloth, and preserve the residue of them, they had a real magical potency. So you would then carry them back home and sleep with them under your pillow, and you'd be subjected to really intense visions of your future love. Intense visions make it sound like he's like, I don't even know, but...
Yeah, I know. All right, calm down. Yeah.
Like,
intense visions. You're like, guys, just have a wank like anybody else. Calm down. Intense visions and the blossom of an oak tree. You really just need to, do you know what I mean? I know, yeah.
It's like Wicker Man, isn't it? With the, you
is,
know,
yeah, next door, like dancing nudie, like
Fire
just have a wank, like Frollo from the Hunchback of Notre Dame. Just have a wank. You haven't got a burner. Just toss one off. You'll be all right, mate. It'll all seem different afterwards. Don't worry.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. But it is. It's very much linked to a time of fertility and linking all the love, fertility, summer. It's all motifs that are found throughout British folklore and have very, very old origins.
More pagan, isn't it? The old sort of, I mean, something I was, and I know I'm interjecting, but I'm interested is because it just sort of warming to the theme, but I'm interested about this idea of love divination. Does it, unless you're going to move on to that, does it ever sort of become like sexual? Like, you know, when they had, particularly in medieval times, when they're obsessed with phallic looking vegetables and they're like, this will stop impotence because you're eating a carrot, which looks faintly like an erect penis. Do you find that love divination did that? I mean, unless that's something you're going to move on to, in which case, obviously, carry on as you were. But do you find that's something that looms large? Because, you know, things like fixations for virginity, that kind of thing, white cloth, all the this idea. But do you find this idea of sexuality coming into divination? I mean, it just must do. It must do. It must be the subtext of any text to do with divination as well, I imagine.
Think it's the subtext to a lot of it. It's a little bit more subtle with female love divination because it's very much the idea of fertility, but it's very subtle because women are subtle creatures.
Yes.
But there's a form of love divination that is a male pastime, and it is very, very overt, as I'll share. So it's called the magic sword ritual.
Oh, here we go. Yeah,
Yes.
okay.
And you can always tell when it's being referred to. I've only seen it referred to in a few sources, but when it's referred to as the magic sword ritual, you know they're doing that a bit tongue in cheek.
Yeah, you're like, come on. I mean, I thought this about meeting at midnight. Are you sure they're not just meeting? Is their lover saying to them, if you meet at midnight, you'll see this? It's like, if you meet at midnight, he's just going to kind of throw one up you and Scarpa. Like, that's what's happening. Like, I think there's a bit of, but tell me more about this magic
So
sword,
there's
because I can't
just
see where this is going.
as an interjection, there's a day in, and I think it's the 23rd of September, but it's some day in September
Just after
that
my
in,
birthday. Yeah.
yeah, in September, that in kind of late Georgian through into the turn of the century was known as Nutting Day in Shropshire and elsewhere. And it was the
Nutting Day.
day, yeah, it was the day where young men and young women would go into the woods and they'd go a nutting. So they would go looking for nuts, but then
Yeah.
9 months later, a little baby was often
So
bought. So,
they found nuts, not the nuts you were thinking, but I mean,
yes.
probably, yeah, they are the nuts you were thinking of. Yeah.
The reason that pregnancy often happened on Nutting Day was due to the fact that the devil roamed the woods,
I'm going to
as
say it's because they
usual.
were banging in the woods. It's why
No, in the
pregnancy
devil. It's the
happened.
devil. Scratch, he's got nothing better to
Old
do.
Scratch is back 9 months later. I love the most like Shropshire witches thing. I love that thing. And the reason 9 months later they're pregnant is because Old Scratch was in the woods. It's like, yes, that's why.
Yeah, definitely nothing else, nothing to do with the nutting.
Shannon.
No,
Yeah.
so that reminded me of that. But
I
the
love.
magic sword ritual was found on both sides of the Shropshire border. So
Oh,
it's
God.
got Welsh border origins and the Shropshire part. And
Yeah.
there's a lady who called Sarah Mason, who provided an account of it to Charlotte Byrne. And she referred to it as before her grandmother's time, which is very accurate. But my terrible maths has worked out around the 1700s, probably the 1780s, 1790s.
Yeah.
And it stems from a period where it was much more common to carry a sword, which suggests that it was going on for a long time when she was reporting it. And it was a practice that told young men to go to the local churchyard at midnight and they would walk or run three times around the church.
Okay.
Every time they passed the porch of the church, to enter the porch and thrust his sword into the keyhole of the building, saying,
Yeah.
Here is the sword, but where is the sheath?
Oh, for it's subtle. It's so damn subtle. I'm sorry. I know where she's
And
picking sage leaves and dreaming of a coffin. That's where the sheath is.
yeah. And so here is a sword, where is the sheath? And after he'd completed the ritual, he must wait in the churchyard before the light begins to grow before journeying home. And
Yeah.
on this journey home, it was that he would bump into his future spouse. I think it, probably the reality is it's not so much that he was bumping into a future wife. He was probably coming home at the crack of dawn and she was on her way to work and
Yeah.
oh yeah, no. Yeah, I'll marry you, young lady. Yeah, so it's incredibly phallic.
He's
It,
been thrusting in a Churchill on his own.
yeah,
And now you
you
just
know.
bumped into him getting on with your day. But hey, you lucky lady. You
I
can't
can't
walk.
help but think of Matt Berry when I read this, and I just imagine him reading the line, "Here is the sword, where is the sheath?" So if,
Key voice. That's so
you
good.
know, if Matt Berry, if you're listening, which you're probably not, please can you
If
send
you're
us a clip
listening, we
of
love you. Yeah.
saying that line? But it's so boring, it's so obviously sexual. It's just very, it's brilliant, isn't it?
I
So
know.
that's
I want that to happen. I want Matt Berry. I want the coven to gather and try and find some way that Matt Berry does that for us, because that would be insane. And if you do ever listen to this, Matt Berry, by chance, I have a part of many years I love very much, but Matt Berry, you are a stone cold fox. That is all I'm going to say. Everyone thinks that about Matt Berry. It's fine.
I love it. I just can imagine it with the, everything about that scene. But
It's
that is
perfect.
probably the best example of male love divination because men didn't do it very often, but when they did, they were incredibly bawdy and over the top and straight to the point.
It's a very
And there
male
is,
thing, isn't it?
yeah, and there is a story of a man who did the ritual, went to walk home, and he saw a vision of a coffin. Went home, went to bed, and died in bed. So yeah,
It. Yeah.
the magic sword ritual. So we need to try a hack. I want to see more men in churchyards at midnight thrusting their sword into the keyhole of the church.
I'm going to say
Don't.
curveball. I don't.
Yeah, I don't think the vicar would really agree with me there.
No.
But
Imagine
no,
we
don't
have
do
to
it.
do like some research for the part, and we're like, "What's that?" And he was like, "I know exactly what that is." He,
It's the magic sword ritual.
you're so ignorant, Alex. He literally loved this
Philistine.
episode. Yeah, you Philistine. This man's running or walking, depending what his Strava permits, as he goes around and thrusts the keyhole. All of it is harrowing.
Yeah, which do you think would be more scary to like witness? A man walking casually around and doing it, or a man
Question.
running? Because I think running, there's a certain swag to kind of just going, right, I'm walking, but just running with, you know, I with his arms behind his back or something.
I love your son. His hands are now behind his back. It adds potency. I'm gonna argue. Let's play devil's advocate. I think, yeah, the running is more visually sinister. I think that's fair. But there's something maniacal about running that he's kind of harassing. You know, it seems unhinged. Walking is so controlled that if he walked and seemed normal despite being in the churchyard at midnight and then thrust the keyhole, I'd be like, oh, man, that's a bit sinister. Like
Yeah, that's a man who knows what he wants.
he's what you might call culpable or complicit. I think, like, the running guy, you're like, yeah, I think he exposed himself on the high street, but I think he's got problems. The walking guy knows exactly what he's doing. So I think that, like, it's layered, it's nuanced. Do you know what? Let us know. Let us know which you think is more sinister, because I'd love to hear the answer.
One would you have as your future husband, running man or walking man?
Because they both sound great. I would, you know, maybe we could have a menage a trois. We could have both. Monday to Wednesday, it's running. And then for the rest, it's the walking guy, just for some stability.
It's just wonderful. And I think this is why I love these kind of rituals. It's because at their core, they're so human and silly and, you know, they're just brilliant. And it is just brilliant. And I think we can gain so much by researching them because I think there's always a tendency to think superstition and the branch that is superstition, like this kind of stuff, is a sign of unintelligence or a
Yeah,
sign
occasionally.
of ignorance, and it's not. It's a sign of a really active, imaginative culture with their own rules and systems. And you know, I could wax lyrical about it all day, but also there's a hint with some of these of somebody pulling someone's leg and going, "Oh yeah, well actually, you want to find out who you're going to marry, mate? You go to the churchyard and put your sword in the hole." You know, like
You know what?
just.
I think that's such a good slant, because Yeah, you're absolutely right. The times that people, if you hear folklore, and you and I must encounter this because obviously we read and talk about folklore probably to a preternatural degree, but you know, there's preconceptions, just as there are when someone kind of, you know, if you have someone that like, you know, I'm vegetarian, you're vegan, you kind of say like, we look classically like that. If you thought of like a kind of what a vegetarian vegan maybe looks like, you're like, yeah, fits the bill. Same as like folklore. And I think there's these ideas of what folklore is, what certain kind of habits are, but actually when you look at it, it's such like a nuanced, interesting, fascinating thing, and there's so much humor in there, and there's so much, I think it just gets, like all things, it gets this kind of image pinned to it as to what it is in folklore, and you imagine kind of, you know, lots of phalluses, Morris dancing, which we both love Morris dancing, you know, all these things, but you don't look at it for maybe, oh, I think some do, and obviously like Professor Ron Hutton, case in point, but you know, it hasn't always had the weight that it deserves behind it because it is
No.
fascinating and valid, you know. And a lot of the time,
Yeah, oh,
you know,
lately.
the studies that you've done, like with the devil, it doesn't mean necessarily that, like, oh, we think that the devil genuinely walks and nicks all this sage. But like you've said before, and I always think it's really good, it doesn't matter if ghosts or whatever exist or not, it's what it represents, and it's this kind of
Yeah.
the attitude. That's what's fascinating. And I think it's wrong to look back and think that people were ignorant or stupid. Not the case. And actually, if anything, like you say, I think a lot of them were very tongue in cheek. They're like, yeah, put half a brick under your pillow, mate. Do this
Yeah,
in
it was all
the
right.
churchyard. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like there's gotta be some piss taking. And why not? Like humans don't change that much. I think that
No, just the
I think that's
situations
great.
they go through changes. And I think, yeah, I think you're completely right there.
It's so interesting. So go on, if you've got another divination for us, something
Yeah,
you want
I've
to say,
got a
go on.
few more actually.
Yeah,
So
cool. I love this. I'm really excited.
we've had some that are bizarre. We've had some that are ridiculous. But you could practice love divination with even kind of the most simplest things, particularly the natural world and things that grew around you or things that you would have readily had in your life. So one of the kind of the most straightforward pieces of love divination was the idea of the ash tree,
Okay.
and nuts as well. We talked about nuts briefly, but the idea that nuts be carried as a charm to encourage love to reveal itself. You could just have a in your pocket and you could carry them with you, and that would help you find who your love was supposed to be. But also, you've got a snack if you're a little bit hungry, so that's good.
Exactly. It's, I mean, you can't lose it in this
No, a
situation.
win-win. But the ash tree is heavily involved with all sorts of divination, cross-culturally as well, because it's like Yggdrasil in Norse mythology is an ash in some versions, but also in love divination, you could take a piece of the evil leaf ash and simply hold it in your hand and repeat the even leafed ash in my hand, the first I shall see will be my man. And if that didn't work, you placed it to your chest and you said, the even leaf ash at my bosom, the first man I meet shall be my husband. Then you simply throw away the ash and you find out who your husband is.
God, okay. Well, there you go, guys. So, I mean, laborious, yes.
Yeah.
Worthwhile, no.
Does
But
it rhyme? No, it doesn't rhyme, but also straightforward.
yeah. Does it need to rhyme?
Yeah. And also stocking as well. So we're going back to a point where most women would have worn stockings over tights, but
Yeah.
you could find out who your husband was by how you hung your stockings. So when you laid them out of an evening,
Yeah.
if they hung the right stocking over the left on a Friday night and repeated the following, this is the blessed Friday night. I draw my stocking to the right to dream of living, not the dead. The dream of a young man I am to wed. You would dream of your new love.
Okay.
Which is rather nice. I
Yeah,
do like it. Yeah.
like that. Yeah. I mean, I don't wear stockings generally, but yeah.
No, I don't. But also, it's pretty straightforward, and I like the idea of Friday night being blessed
Well, there's
because.
clarity, isn't there? It's the end of the week. It's clear. It's written down. You know what you're doing. It's the kind of the sort of the dot to dot of love divination, isn't it? You're like just
Yeah,
okay, you
yeah.
know exactly what's you know where you're at. And also you don't have to leave your house and sort of get hit by a half a brick. So
Yeah, or the next one, less practical. So Mr. R.C. Ward, he was writing to Notes and
sorry, R.C.
Queries.
Ward.
R.C. Ward, yeah.
Yeah, it's the least of his worries, I'm sure, when we hear what his divination is. But yeah, continue.
Notes and Queries, they're amazing. They're like antiquarian little like notes, people talking about folklore, people talking about the history of notable families in Shropshire. It's amazing. There's a running beef between someone called Proud Salopian and another writer who both basically just bit each other and go, actually, you know nothing about nothing. Proud Salopian, you're more like not Salopian. And it was just published in the Victorian period. It's a wonderful resort, particularly because a lot of people write in and share folklore that they've heard from someone or pieces that are less mainstream. And the RC, he wrote in and said that there were several means of procuring a lover, including the brick charm. We've got the brick charm does actually come from RC Ward.
Oh, thank you, RC.
He says that an additional way to uncover your future husband is to take the first laid egg of a white pullet chicken and place it under your pillow.
Relatable.
And you should leave it, go to sleep, and then you'll have an insight into your future lover. Now, I don't want to sleep with an egg under my pillow.
Know what will
Don't know how
happen.
cool that would be, but
What will
also,
happen?
I suppose if you're desperate and you want to know who your husband's going to be, you're going to try anything, aren't you? So maybe it'll work.
Yeah, listening to this on Valentine's Day, you're desperate, guys. Stick this egg under your pillow. It'll crack, and in the morning it'll smell, and you'll be depressed. But it's fine.
Yeah, an eggy,
It'll be an eggy mess. But don't worry, you may or may not see who your true love will be. You won't. You'll just have a faff to clear up in the morning. But hey,
I think really
folklore.
bringing in the quotes on the t-shirts, because I really want a t-shirt that now says it'll be an eggy mess, the Shropshire Witches podcast.
And it's so neat because you walked there, they put like one on the back, we're like Shropshire Witches podcast. I'm still determined to get a Shropshire Witches running vest because listeners, Amy is very patient with the fact that, can I just say, of the two of us, Amy has a much better social life and does really interesting things. I
No, I
just,
don't.
oh no, you do, because whenever I you like make ceramic hedgehogs and things like this, all this stuff that I love, and
Against
whenever I
children.
reply, yeah, exactly, whenever I reply, I'm like, they've been for a run and it was misty, but
Although it's very cool. I wish I had the energy.
oh God, no, I'm obsessed. But equally, I'm always thinking that I want to get like a Shropshire Witches running vest. If I'm running around the Stivestones in the mist with that on, they'd be like, fucking
Right.
hell. Love
I thought she
divination.
was a Ryan.
Yeah, she's got half a brick in her hand, and then the other hand's got a load of sage leaves. Like, nine for the devil. In the right part of the world, anyway, up by the
You are
devil.
definitely. No, I love it.
I do, I as well. So go on, what else have you got for us?
So I've got a few more I want to share. There are a lot more, but I think if I was to try and track down all of the little snippets and pieces in Shropshire, we'd be here all evening because there's a lot. But so I've tried to pick ones that are just bizarre, ones that, involve men, which as we all saw that they were very straight to the point. And ones that kind of link to the communities that they would be part of. So this next one is much more agrarian. I think a lot of them really do come from more agrarian societies, and agrarian communities. But this one certainly is because it's you need a knife, not that everyone in the community walks round bladed up, but you need the bone of a lamb. And obviously, if you lived in a little bit more built up area, or you were a bit more in the industry, or you could only really get that from a butcher's, they're much more available agrarian communities. So you would need the blade bone of a lamb, and again, you should stay awake till midnight. I'm a sleepy girl. I would like to have some love divination. I could do it about 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's dark, but like 11 in the morning is fine. After 7 p.m. like no.
No.
We're both kidding.
So at midnight, you prick the bone with a knife and you repeat the following charm. 'Tis not the bone I mean to pick, but my love's heart I wish to prick. If he comes not and speaks tonight, I'll prick and prick till it be light.
Is that just curveball? If we come not tonight, I'll prick and prick until it be light. Is that, am I being, yeah, I was just gonna say, is
No, I think it's a
that
little bit
wording
smutty. It's a
if
bit.
I'm pervy or if that's like, and also, I mean, talk about unrealistic because I don't think anything's going on as long as that. But equally, yeah, interesting. Interesting. One is fantastic, but it's a charming little ditty.
It is, isn't it? It's just the idea. Nope, I'm not trying to prick this bone. I want to stab my future love's heart.
Yeah.
He better come tonight. And if he doesn't, I'll just keep doing it.
I'll just keep doing it in the morning. And you're like,
yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot. It's giving aggression. But yeah, okay.
Yeah. It's relatable. And apparently, again, you have to put that bone under your pillow before sleeping and you'll dream of love and marriage.
Okay.
And to me, it's just, you know, imagine being the mother of a young girl in Shropshire in kind of the late 17, early 1800s. And, you know, you're making a bed the following morning. Oh, she's got a lamb bone underneath it. Oh, she's got half an egg. She's got half a brick.
Alex,
It's just,
they're up to their old tricks.
It's,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just very bizarre.
It's a lot, isn't it? Like, you know, as if kind of teenagers, you know, you hear stuff and you think, okay, right, yeah, we've all been there. But the lamb's bone, and that, you know, you're going, do you know what? It's convoluted enough without the lamb's bone and the kind of the penis ditties. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's we've already have enough to
Yeah.
contend with. We've got the sage, we've got the brick, and they're like, yeah, but there's a lamb bone and there's a rhyme about banging till daylight. Like, it's, you're like, yeah, okay, well, this is, we're gonna pick this one apart over a couple of nights. I think that's what's gonna, you know, we're
Yeah,
gonna,
yeah. Yeah, let's sit down with you
yeah,
and yeah.
let's see what.
Yeah, it's just amazing. And I think so many of these, there is an element as well of kind of youthful innocence about them. It's obviously a lot of them are quite sexual, or there's hints of sexuality, but there's also an element of, you can definitely tell that they are practices of younger people. Maidens, it would be called back in the day. But I like this next one because it's very, very much rooted in kind of girlhood crushes. And it's also for a woman who can't really make her mind up.
Yeah.
Maybe she's got multiple men that she's caught eyes with down at
Really?
The local wake, and that she's quite fond of a few.
Sorry, local
So
wake.
yeah.
Yeah, classic. Yeah,
yeah.
Continue.
So the young woman must write down the names of six young men who she knows fairly well on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
I've tried to work out what they mean by fairly well. Do they mean that she's known them in the biblical sense, or does it mean that she's just kind of locked eyes with them, or is it just someone in the village? But it's not clear. So it could be all of them.
I think it's all of them. It's a mix, isn't it? Depending
yeah.
on the woman, I think.
Yeah. And she writes down the names of those six men on a piece of paper. The paper should be small, and then you should wrap it into a small, soft piece of bread, and you must squish the bread around the piece of paper until you can't see the paper. All you can see is the bread.
Just a bit of bread. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so you end up with these six kind of blodges of bread that you drop in a glass of water.
Oh.
So you need to make sure that they're completely submerged. The first bit of bread that rises contains the name of the man that you're due to wed. And thus, he's the one you should show more attention to.
But don't tell him about the bread and the water thing, because
yeah,
say that might be a bit of an ick. I think that's going to kind of be like,
yeah, it's a bit like, oh,
yeah,
I'm why are you so obsessed with me?
Yes, exactly. Like, be yourself, but I mean, not entirely. Like, reveal that over time, if not ever. Like, just keep that one.
Yeah, yeah. So
you and me, huh?
If you've come to this episode to find out ways to find out who you're going to marry, that's for the girl that maybe has a lot of options.
Yeah.
Maybe you should try the bread charm if you've got a lot of options. And, you know, you're always going to have bread, hopefully, in the house.
Yeah.
You're always going to, unless you're, you know,
if you've
gluten
got six
intolerant.
Guys, you're like, you know, good for you. Love that. I mean,
yeah.
I'm not going to say it's that relatable.
Same.
But often evening, yeah, when I'm looking on kind of like for routes, we're going, that looks like a really good route for a run tomorrow. And I'll also be incorporating a church. So excellent. Not for the brick and things like that, entirely for platonic reasons, because that is how old I am now. I'm not going there for love. I'm going there for the scenic value. And also because there's a hill just on from it. There's a segment that I'm like, I'm going to get my personal best. But yeah, no, I think that is fantastic. I'm always fascinated by this idea of, like I say, however extreme, if it came, like we mentioned at the start of the episode, if you said this in terms of like a normal part of life, you'd be like, that's fucking mental. But if you say it comes to love, we're very tongue in cheek, but we also have quite a broad spectrum of what we tolerate before we went, that's mad. you know,
Yeah, no,
it's
I agree.
fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah, because it could very much some of these be tongue in cheek or girlhood games, but equally, people do some pretty crazy things for love. So maybe
Oh
it
God,
is,
yeah.
it might very well be. And I think one of the good things about these rituals is they allow the possibility. It's not clear cut. We don't know the motivations for some of these people to enact them. We, with everything with folk belief, it's hard to quantify.
Yeah.
We know at some point these things were done, enough reported. That could be only a few cases. It could be, a rite of passage, but we know that they must have had some influence in the communities that Charlotte Brennan and other people were talking to because they were reported. They've continued. We're still on a podcast in 2025 talking about them now. So they
Yeah.
must have had some prevalence, but it is hard to quantify with folk belief. And I think some are a little bit easier to do than others. Maybe not as many people were going out into midnight and a few more people were doing the bread charm, but we don't know.
But it's like, you know, when there's things that you just never like reveal, like that whole kind of thing. Do you remember a few years ago when it was on, was it around lockdown when people just didn't have, obviously, for obvious reasons, have enough to do, and they like woke up like this? It's like, did you fuck? Did you
No, you
fucking
didn't.
bollocks wake up like that? I'm sorry to swear. What a crock of absolute shit. And it's one of those things where we kind of look like, you know, oh, I'm just that chilled girl or that chill girl. Like, bollocks, bollocks. And also that, when they're like, oh, my ex is crazy. Yeah, why? Was she crazy before you? Probably not, huh? All my exes, all 18 of them have been completely mad in the last 12 months. My last 18 girlfriends have been, have they? Have they? Tell me more about that. But yeah, I think it's one of those things, like, you wonder if people go, that's insane, goes home and puts bread in water. You know, like, it's, we always say that things aren't relatable, but it's funny the things that we would do. You know, like, look at the things that we do in the name of beauty, in the name of whatever else. You know, love is very much not the exception, but probably the rule. You know, I think it's extraordinary. And so the fact that so many of these prevail is of no surprise to me. A lot of the time is very humorous, but look, is no, like, more ludicrous in many ways. And some of the ridiculous things that we've done all prior to things like first dates, whatever we've done, we've all done stuff that's so cringy that if you think, oh my God, like, you know, a Facebook stalk or an Instagram stalk, whatever it may be, I'm being like, oh, I know nothing about you. Definitely wasn't sending screenshots to my friend going, yeah, but he looks like a bit of a nick in this. Like, has he got a bad tooth or gum ratio? And you're like, he doesn't know that, but like, everybody does that. And it's almost, it's love divination of its time, isn't it? Same as, like, you know, these perfumes, they're like, this perfume smells amazing to a man, tempt to a man, he wouldn't be able to resist you. And you're like, that's a little bit creepy. But they have smell of pheromones and things like this, and they're like, it's made by the scent that comes from a deer's anus. And you're like, well, that's really cool, dear. But like, yeah, love divination is still very much that, like, Instagram filters, whatever it may be, thirst traps, and I'm including men in this, okay, before they start the bullshit. Women, catfish, mate, you guys are the fucking worst. But yeah, it's still love divination in the digital age. That's what it is. Like, it's all,
It is.
yeah, it is like, love divination is its own thirst trap, and we still do it, and we still find these things fascinating. So yeah, and I'm also just saying thirst trap to show that I'm not that old. I know what a thirst trap is.
I'm down with children.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm not one because I'm old as fuck, but it's still like, and I get a little running vest down and a woolly jumper on top. So yeah, def not a thirst trap. Just said def as well. Hate myself for that. But please continue.
I want to finish on one that I actually think is a bit bizarre. There's been a bit of a pattern, and then kind of come back together and look at kind of pretty much what you've just said and about
Okay.
how we're not so different from the past. But this one is called the snail charm,
Okay.
and we're told that you must find a black snail. I don't know much about snail species, so I don't know whether that's a different snail to
I never seen
regular
that.
snails. I know nothing about snails. I don't know why I said that so aggressively then.
No,
Like,
it's
I don't know
okay. It
anything
wasn't
about
supposed to be.
snails.
I know nothing about them. I didn't hurt them, all right? Like, Jesus, all right. This
Well,
does protest too much when it comes to the
so you must go to the garden, you must find a snail, Take it by the horns. Now, I'm pretty sure snails don't have horns.
Do they mean the little
So
eyes that are up? Do
I
they
think,
those horns? Because
yeah.
they look quite malleable as well. Can you grip by those? They look like they'd buckle under the slightest pressure. Like,
Yeah.
yeah, that
So
feels a bit
that's
cool. Grab
the,
the shell, if anything, but
yeah,
gently because it cracks.
that's a bit I think it must be, is that it's the eye stalks. And then again, it's at
Call it eye
midnight.
stalks. Yeah.
Yeah. Throw the snail over your shoulder at midnight. I'll be
Oh,
like, bloody
goodness.
hell, what's going on?
We're animal lovers. Do not do this. Yeah.
Yeah, don't go throwing snails over your shoulders.
No.
They don't want to,
It's not
you know,
fair.
they're probably asleep.
They already have a
It's
shit
not,
ton in the
but
rain. You know, like, do you do this? I use my phone light in the rain, walking to my front door because I'm like, because otherwise you get a crescendo of crack, crack, crack. And you're like, there's no feeling of remorse and self
yeah.
hate. Like when you hear that crunch, you're like, I've just killed a fucking snail. I hate
Yeah, no,
it when I turn
I'm
my phone light and tiptoe to the door because they'll come out in this weather. It's raining, but it's dark, guys. Come on. Like,
Yeah, no, I'm terrible. I mean, well, it's not terrible, is it? Like today we were some hedge planting, and I made Callum move all the wormies because I didn't want to touch them, and I
yeah.
didn't want to accidentally hurt the wormies. So,
Yeah. I was like, oh,
he moved. But
calm
so
down. Good.
you
Yeah.
the snail, you throw it over your shoulder, give it the shock of its life,
Yeah.
go home, and then apparently the trail that the snail has left in the morning is the route you need to take to follow you find your huge future husband.
Okay. That
And
like it would definitely work. Like I feel okay. Yeah.
there's a lot to that. And weirdly into it, the snail actually has a lot of places in divination, even going back to things like ancient Greece and stuff like that.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. And they've got a lot of symbolism of like the journey of life and kind of slow and steady wins the race and things. So it is almost the idea that like it's cross-cultural in a way, but I don't go flinging snails around. It's just not
Don't.
nice.
It's not. It's only because like the Woodland Trust and people will come after you. Quite rightly. I mean, with the Woodland Trust, I
Yeah.
don't know, but also we
And then
would
you'd get
do shit to
arrested.
like. Oh yeah, honestly, don't kill spiders. Don't kill animals, dickheads. Or
No,
just.
don't.
Leave them be, for God's sake. We've done enough damage without doing that as well. It's becoming a political podcast, but you know, doesn't it always? But yeah, don't hurt snails, don't hurt spiders, don't. I hate them. I'm like, I'm scared. I suck this spider up the Hoover. Yeah, but the spider was fucking scared, you oaf.
Yeah,
Like,
it's like, what the bloody hell's going on?
some
I
like
don't know why.
phantom,
I
like
don't know
five
why
foot.
all these bugs are slightly northern.
Yeah, I know they always are, though, aren't they? But I feel
Oh
like you're like, oh no, my life flashed before my eyes. Like, and some silly twat is like, oh, it scared me, so I hoovered up the thing. You're like, well, fuck off. Don't do that. Spiders are ace. Leave them be. Anyway, no one mentioned spiders, but we massively digress.
it's
Don't
fine.
kill spiders. That's more merch. Yeah.
So I think to sum it up, love divination is amazing. Particularly, I've looked at it in Shropshire. If you was to look into your local area, if you're not from Shropshire, you would find some form of love divination, and you would find rituals that either had similarities to the ones we've described tonight or had their own unique eccentricity. And I think they, in many ways, symbolize the kind of transition into adulthood.
Yeah.
I think they're not silly, as much as we've laughed at some of them, and they are funny. They're not a sign of silliness or ignorance.
No, not at all.
They provide us an insight into the minds of our ancestors at that change in their life when they go from girlhood or, you know, adolescence through into a time when that actually is something that is a lot more. We are able to glimpse what they were thinking, and kind of literally a very potent idea of teenage years and early adulthood in the past. And I think that's just electrifying. I think it's
Yeah.
so exciting. And I think if I know, obviously, the sort of person that listens to the Shropshire Witches podcast isn't going to look down on some of these practices, but I
No.
think equally, if you to look at some of these things and just not see them right, or think that we're far more rational in the digital age, there are still oracle cards, tarot cards, horoscopes, which are brilliant and have their
Horace
own,
is a good one, yeah.
yeah, merit. But we still do forms of divination today to try and work out our love life. We still, you know, check birth charts to see whether we're compatible, and oh no, I'm a Cancer, I can't possibly be with this person, and stuff like that. So it all has its merit, and it all gives us an insight into the minds of those who came before us. And I'd like to think that in 100 years' time, there'll be people talking about some of the things we did. It's even, we're both millennials, but even now, the next generation see millennials as inherently cringe. But
You're like, yeah, but guys, you're wearing our fashion from the 90s and we went to Tammy Girl, so back off.
yeah, I just think, just like Death Omens and just like some of the other things we've discussed on the Shropshire Witches podcast, they give us such a unique insight into the past. And in many ways, they are a tool for the historian as much as they are the folklorist. So it's been
Agree.
really to share some of these with you all. And I hope that it's inspired you to maybe not try some, but to look into your own areas or to dig deeper if you're from Shropshire and find out a little bit more.
I love it. And I think, just to be clear, when she said look into your own areas, we're not going on for like the, the euphemistic tone to a lot of these remedies. And we do kind of, it's funny. And it's the same, be it kind of medieval marginalia folk songs that have got very kind of phallic-y sexual references, whatever it is. I think mankind will always find sex hilarious because, frankly, it is. We'll also always feel heartbroken. We'll feel elated. We'll feel all the nuances and all the emotions that come with being human, and that come with, if we're fortunate enough to age, that come with come with aging, and when, it's even things like when people say, oh, you get past that stage of worrying if people fancy you or not. You don't, like, honestly, like, I'm more worried about the fact that my knees click when I walk down the stairs. Like, you've got stuff, I got other priorities, like, it's fine. But I think if anything that you take from this, you see that humans kind of, peccadilloes are very evident. Also, our ability to laugh at things, to laugh at one another, to laugh at ourselves, and to laugh at, things that somebody's probably done and gone, I wonder why this didn't work. Because it's bollocks. And even if it is bollocks or isn't bollocks, it doesn't matter, because there's a unity, isn't there, that comes with folklore.
Yeah.
These are beliefs that people share, that talk about in the pub, and like we said before, that you might sometimes think something's silly, but actually, you then go home and go, oh, I wonder, does that work? And we do, like, every, when people go, oh, star signs are bollocks, probably, but it doesn't matter because people still read them. And I'm going to say, look, for something that might be bollocks, I bet the vast majority of people know what their star sign is. I am a Virgo, close to Libra, and I'm about as Virgo as it gets, as you know, Amy, because I love a list. I love to be organized,
You
things like
do, you
this. Like,
do.
yeah, I'm such a Virgo.
And I'm a Cancer, and I'm emotional and stubborn, and I like
Yes.
dogs.
Yeah,
That's
you're
much
like,
it. It's.
perfect. And you do like dogs, because you like my dog, especially Tommy when he's sitting in the windbreaker
Oh,
there. You
Tommy.
love that. Oh, Tommy, such a Regency pup. But look, I've got to say, when we were discussing this, I knew nothing about this, and it's so interesting. And what we're, I think, is fair to say, we're going to try to do with these specials is keep them kind of like as self-contained episodes, and if one of us can talk about something the other one doesn't know much about, which is going to be quite tight for me because Amy is very knowledgeable, but
I'm not.
she's afflicted with false modesty. But this was really, really fascinating, and actually arguably one of my favorite episodes in terms of, like, it was just really good fun. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I did. I loved it. It was ace. And I think it's, folklore is something that, like you say, we really need to just look at, and not kind of look down on or anything like that. Just see it for the nuanced, fascinating, convoluted subject that it is. And the fact that you alluded, or in fact, actually outright mentioned earlier in the episode, this idea of, like, something being relevant to Shropshire, but also going beyond the county, because each county will have its own sort of take on something, including people who have their own take on Robin Hood, things like that. But, whatever is said for the realms of Shropshire is also relevant elsewhere. And I find that in itself so fascinating. So I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I can't wait for another one of these. And whatever you're doing on Valentine's, guys, have a lovely time. Or
Yeah.
just, don't worry about it. Watch Vicar Dibley, do whatever. Doesn't matter. And if you're single, don't worry about that. And if you're not single, I hope that's working out for you as well.
Yeah.
Great as you are, you don't need somebody else to verify that, okay? That is not your blue tick. You're great as you are, with or without a partner. No angst is what I'm going to say to that.
No,
Great.
I agree. Yeah.
Fab. Great. Is there anything else you want to add, Amy, before we wrap up? I don't know why I rolled my R's in the Shropshire way, but
I
yeah.
liked it. I liked it. No, I think it's just it's really great to be able to share these and to express their importance, and also to laugh at when we laughed in the same way that people probably did. You know, the idea of,
Yeah.
oh, did you see Billy? He went down to the churchyard and put his sword in the hole. Like, look, what an idiot, you know, that kind of thing. And it's really great. And I think one thing that I've loved in my time I've been researching folklore is seeing the resurgence of its importance.
Yeah.
And it's just great. So, yeah, to thank you so much for listening.
Thank
Thank you
you, guys.
for staying with us and continuing to listen to the Shropshire Witches podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I was going to say before we forget as well, Amy's going to give a shout out to our Patreons as well. So if you just explain, we've got Patreon now, Amy, haven't we, as well?
Yes, we have. So we have recently started a Patreon, and it's going to be, it's still in its early days. We are planning to put some extra content on there,
Yeah.
articles hopefully, and we have two tiers of kind of rewards and different things you can get. As well as that, we're hoping to put some kind of exclusives on there
Yeah.
that are extras, and they're coming very soon.
Yeah.
And we actually had our first two Patreons. So
We
we
have.
wanted to
Thank you,
give
guys.
wonderful shout out to Rich Marks and Ifan Francis. I hope I've said that
Of course.
name correct.
Ivan Francis. Yeah, absolutely right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, guys. It means the world to us that you've chosen to join us on this journey. But also thank you to everyone that's listened. And if you're interested in the podcast and the Patreon, have a little look and see if it's for you. But thank you to everyone who has listened, and also to Rich and Ifan for supporting us.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you, and to all of you, and to the two boys, welcome to the coven. Thank you all so much. Yeah, and Amy, thank you, because that was effing great. I loved it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for listening.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you very soon. Cheers.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye,
Bye.
bye, bye.